Today's passage reading is Psalm 141, verse 3.
여호와여,
set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Amen. The senior pastor will deliver the message with the title, Set a Guard Over My Mouth. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 8,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Brazil, Bolivia, Uruguay, Argentina, Chile, Japan, Mongolia, China, Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Israel, Palestine, Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, DR Congo, Gabon, Angola, Botswana, Swaziland, South Africa, Burkina Faso, Liberia, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria, the United Kingdom, Ireland, France, Belgium, Holland, Germany, Italy, Greece, Russia, Sweden, Estonia, Belarus, Ukraine, Dagestan, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday school, GCN, and Manmin TV viewing audiences. God the Father wants to give blessings to His children. He is a good God who wants to give us His mercy and peace. He especially proclaimed this year as the year of blessing and is telling us in detail the ways to receive blessings. He has told us in detail how we can resolve our fundamental problems. I hope now all of you will receive spiritual and material blessings. I hope none of you will be sick or financially poor, but you will reap 30, 60, and 100 times more fruits by sowing with faith. God said this year is year of blessing, and many of you are receiving blessings. And as evidence, in the year 2000, those who were giving more than 1 million won tithes in our church was just a couple, one or two. But now the number is more than 150, including what is not verified, it should be more than 150. And those who are giving more than 500,000 is more than 500. I couldn't check it this morning, but for those who, the number of those who are giving more than 1 million one tithe is more than 150. It means that we are receiving so much blessings, much more than before. Sowing doesn't only mean monetary offering. Your service and voluntary works will give you the blessing of your soul's prosperity and physical health. But all answers and blessings are given according to the justice and love of God. Namely, God can answer you only when the amount of our deeds of faith is filled up according to the justice of God. The amount of deeds of faith will be different according to the answer we want to get from God. But some people just demolish the deeds that they have been accumulating. Nobody would actually want to do that. But in fact, many people do destroy the deeds they have stored up, being unable to control their lips. Of course, if we commit sins, it creates a wall of sin, and we cannot receive any answer or blessing. But even though we do not actually commit sins, sometimes we delay our own answer and blessing because of the words of our mouths. Some inappropriate words will break down the deeds of faith we have been storing up. We have to continually build up with faith, but we repeat a cycle of building and demolishing again and again. So let me elaborate on this. As I explained once before, when you store up heavenly rewards in heavenly kingdom, you'll receive blessings on earth as well. But even though you store up so much blessing as rewards in heavenly kingdom, sometimes you demolish all of them. That is when you commit works of the flesh leading to death. It's because it means you are going to death. Everything will be demolished. You cannot receive any reward in heavenly kingdom. But there are works of flesh or other sins not leading to death. And according to the magnitude of that sin, that much will be demolished from heavenly rewards. Also, the words on your mouth, there are words that will lead you to death. There are certain words, like words of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, all your heavenly rewards will be demolished completely. But if you repent thoroughly and break down all the walls of sin, then you will have to begin all over again to store up more heavenly rewards. To be more specific, those who are in the first level of faith, even though they commit the works of flesh leading to death, they don't even have heavenly rewards anyway. And because they are in the first level, they don't really know the truth. They don't know anything. So God don't really blame them in case of new believers, newcomers, or first level or the second level of faith. They are still children in faith. But if you are in the third level of faith, you are eating solid food in spirit, you are a young adult, and if you commit the works of flesh leading to death, you will fall back to first or second level of faith. You are sliding back to first level, just before you are just about to lose your salvation. Being a young adult, you went back to a newborn baby, which means you are very close to death. So even with your lips, with your words, if you commit sins leading to death, you will your heavenly words will be demolished. Or, but if you have some ungraceful mouth, and if you speak many ungraceful words, that much heavenly rewards will be demolished. So in this service, I will speak to you under the title, Set a Guard Over My Mouth. I hope you will gain life and strength through this sermon so that you will receive all the answers and blessings that God the Father has prepared for you. I'm delivering these messages so that you can demolish all the walls of sin. And this is like the conclusion. But whatever I explained is only a brief explanation. We couldn't get into so much detail because of time. But if you just keep those in mind and just practice them, you can receive not only comprehensive blessings, but also so many other blessings in this year 2009. You will receive blessing of health as well. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, please repeat after the title of today's message loudly. Set a guard over my mouth. A guard is somebody who keeps and guards something. It can also mean somebody who is hardworking in a particular matter. So if we set a guard over our mouth, we can always control our words. But Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 says, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart." Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 also says, "The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil." If you have good heart, you will give out good things, good words, good deeds. and you will do good works. And if you have evil heart, you will say evil words, you will do evil things. And thus, if you come into whole spirit, you will have only fullness of goodness without any evil, and you won't even have to set a guard over your mouth. Of course, those who go into spirit, they don't have to set a guard over their mouth because they will speak only good words, hear only good things, and see only good things, and do only good things. So they don't really have to set a guard over their mouth. But it doesn't mean they don't have to listen to the word of God. They still have to learn and teach others. They will have self-control completely, so they will be able to automatically control the words from their heart. They'll be able to speak the most appropriate words according to the time, space, and the listener. But since you will still have evil remaining in you before you go into spirit, you have to set a guard over your mouth. Even very good words may not be edifying or glorifying God if they are uncontrolled. Also, even if you speak with a good intention, the listener may not accept it as it was intended. Therefore, I urge you to set a guard over your mouth until you go into whole spirit. Those who go into spirit might make a mistake, so it is better to set a guard over your mouth. Those who go into whole spirit, they don't have reason to make a mistake. Now, what does it mean by setting a guard over my mouth? During this time, I will give you three guidelines, and I hope you will keep them in mind. If you remember and pay attention to these three guidelines about every word you say, this is the meaning of setting a guard over your mouth. First, we should not say anything that is not beneficial. Let us repeat it. We should not say anything that is not beneficial. There are words that are not beneficial for both the speaker and the hearer. All words of untruth are disadvantages. But please keep in mind the couple of examples I'm giving you now and be careful about them. First, telling a lie is a minus, and not only that, it is detrimental for both the speaker and the hearer. Telling a lie is to cheat others, and it'll harm the hearer. The hearer might face material or mental damage if he believes the lie to be true. Telling a lie also harms the speaker. It is a work of flesh to tell a lie, and it is a sin before God too. Thus, I hope you will not tell even little lies or try to hide something by telling a lie. If you make an appointment and if you don't keep it, if you make a promise and if you don't keep it, it means you told a lie. We have a deacon living in Las Vegas, and he wrote to me. He listened to 2,000 sermons of mine, which is basically everything. And he listened the important sermons again and again. So he listened to about 2,000 sermons. He wouldn't have accepted Reverend Jerok Lee of Manmin Church if somebody was mentioned his name. But by some chance, he listened to this sermon first, and he realized that this is the true word of God. And he didn't want to listen to any other sermon. He just listened to all these messages, and he became so passionate. He was full of fervor to spread this gospel of holiness. So he opened a church and to become a pastor. He asked me to recommend, write a recommendation for him. I would do it even 10 times because to open a church in Las Vegas, because he is living there, he has to open a church there because he has a lot of acquaintances there. But he says he has to leave Las Vegas and open a church because he made a promise with his pastor in his church. As long as he lives in Las Vegas, he will not leave this church. Because he made this promise, even though he wants to open a church, he cannot do that in Las Vegas because he already said he never left that church as long as he lived in Las Vegas. He made this promise long time ago when he didn't know the truth very well. But even though he's trying to open a church, not just leaving the church, but to keep this promise, he wants to go to another place and open a church. And for this, he wants me to pray. So I was very touched. There's such a good servant of God now, whom God can really love, full of fervor. And I felt like I gained so much powerful warrior. How truthful it is. There's no falsehood in there. He made a promise such a long time ago, not knowing the truth very well, but still he wants to keep his promise, so he wants to leave Las Vegas and open a church at another place. If we all have this kind of heart, we'll all be loved by God too. So thus, I hope you will not tell even little lies or try to hide something by telling a lie. Irrelevant answers are also words that are inexpedient. Irrelevant answers are answers that have no relation to the question. The person who asked the question cannot get the answer when irrelevant answers are given. Further conversation will be possible only after getting an answer to the question. When I talk to you, when I ask you some questions, it's very, maybe just a couple out of 100 who doesn't give irrelevant answers. Especially they are workers around me, they don't give irrelevant answers. But in most cases, they give irrelevant answers. It's so amazing. I always tell you, I put an emphasis on this during the sermons, but most of you give irrelevant answers. In case when I want to point out something, to let them realize something, they give irrelevant answers, and I cannot do that. But there is such a long line of members, and I have to finish this conversation within a minute or two, and I cannot just keep on talking with that person, so I cannot continue. I asked them a couple of times, and if they don't give the proper answer, then I cannot continue the conversation. It is especially true with the spiritual counseling. For the counselor to help the counselee's problem must be understood. So when a counselor asks the question, and then he gets irrelevant answers, it's difficult to understand the problem. It'll be hard to solve the problem of the counselee. Some people, when the family, whole family, or when they come to for spiritual counseling with me, only about 10 or 20 minutes are given, and if they give irrelevant answers, conclusion is, I cannot tell them what I want to tell them. I cannot give them the answer. 20 minutes is such a short time. And every time I go through this kind of situation, then it is not only a waste of time for the counselor, but the counselee cannot get resolution. This is really useless. I hope you will try to change the habit of giving irrelevant answers. You can, if you don't have any desire to tell a lie, you won't give irrelevant answers. You can reduce irrelevant answers just by listening to the other person attentively. attentively. In many cases, you give irrelevant answers because you don't focus on what the other person is saying, but you listen to your own thoughts. Giving irrelevant answers is not a great sin, but it is very useless and meaningless thing. Of course, often there are lies or words that put the blame on others contained in irrelevant answers. Sometimes you give irrelevant answers to give an excuse. These words are even more improper before God. Also, you give irrelevant answers to conceal the truth. I hope you will thoroughly keep in mind the uselessness of irrelevant answers. Even jesting or some of the popular expressions of the world are also meaningless to believers. Jesting is something said or done to elicit laughter. Those who joke and jest a lot cannot be taken seriously. Isn't it true? Such people don't appear to be trustworthy, so we find it difficult to share secrets with them or give them important work. There is a person who jests a lot among the church workers, so I cannot give him and trust him with important work. I cannot trust him. When I talk about something important with him, because he is jesting a lot, he makes a joke a lot, he may release that information to many other people. Also, those who are doing the presiding on the altar, they shouldn't be jesting. It's better. One person made a joke or made a jesting word, and I even unconsciously I followed it. There's such a Korean word. And I was very embarrassed after saying it. How could I say an improper word? And I just heard from the presider, and I remembered it, and I said it too. So I was very embarrassed. And after the event was over, at the my house, I looked up in the dictionary, and somebody was telling me it was not that particular word was not really a joke or jesting, but it is a proper word in Korean language, but I still think it is not really official. It is not really edifying. It is not really good. That is why I was kind of ashamed of myself. So the presider, just one word of the presider may be input in the hearts of the members, and they may repeat and follow. So there shouldn't be any jesting or jokes on the altar. It is difficult for those who enjoy jesting and telling jokes to go into spirit. For example, some people make others laugh by embarrassing a particular person in order to create a funny situation. If that person becomes upset, they will just say it's just a joke, and they are not even sorry. In joking around, there are many exaggerations and things that are not really right. If you go on a pilgrimage, you shouldn't really be listening to the tour guides. You shouldn't keep them in heart. Maybe you can take them for your information. In the 80s, when I went on the pilgrimage for the first time, I listened to the tour guide, and I kept them in my mind from the beginning to the end. But when I went the next time, the words, the explanations of the tour guide was completely different from the first one. So how come there is such a great difference? And when I went next time, again,
it was totally different again. So the conclusion is, every tour guide has different words. So what is the truth? What should we believe as truth? So I just forgot about all of them. I just referred to the Bible, and I just didn't take their words into consideration. But I'm not saying you should say to you shouldn't say to the tour guide, "Oh, our senior pastor said we shouldn't listen to you." You shouldn't say such a thing. You don't have to say such a thing. For example, the city of Jericho, we have the city. Of course, the walls are destroyed. The tour guides would say they have. They say it is more than 10,000 years old. So is it right according to the Bible? It's not right according to the Bible. So that's why I'm telling you, you shouldn't remember. You shouldn't keep in mind those words. Of course, there are some good things that you should remember. I think you can discern between what is really true or not. But the case is, most of them are not really true. And also the tour guides, they make a joke so much. Probably pilgrimages, they won't be jesting so much. But in other places, they should be. There are so many tour guides, they make so many jokes. In case of our groups, the tour guides, when they make a joke, they feel the mood, so they don't. They see that we don't enjoy them so much. We don't really respond to such a joke. So later they realize that I shouldn't be. They realize that I shouldn't be joking to them. I shouldn't be jesting with them. But later they realize that. Maybe at first they think we are angry or something, but later they realize we are such a good people. We speak only good words. We are not really joking around. And all these words are not right for God's children who are holy. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 4 says, "And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." Last year or the year before, I don't know, a parliament member in a bar, he said a word to a female reporter, which was a sexual harassment case, and he lost his position as a parliament member. It's the same with popular expressions of the world. The trend of the world can be found in those words. When you use such expressions, you might also be influenced by the worldly fashions. Even though they don't contain bad meanings, it is better not to speak such words if you are really longing for New Jerusalem. Some may say, "Now, how can we adapt to this world and live in here? How can we fellowship with people? Can't you have fellowship if you don't joke? If you speak only truth, you cannot have fellowship with any other people in the world. Should I say a bad word so I can give you this example? In movies or in TV dramas, or there's so many bad words. In foul language, even among the friends, and one of them, they just begin with foul language and end with foul language.
"이 무엇이야?
You're laughing because you know what it is. Among friends, especially young people, the students, and they begin with this word. For example, some F word or some other words, and they begin with this and they end with this. And if they have just a little bit of hard feelings, they speak so many foul words, so many bad words. Does your pride, is your pride hurt if you don't speak such words? Our students, they speak only good words in their schools, and so they are loved by teachers, and they are loved by other students too. So we have many leaders in the student bodies, and they are trusted by the teachers, loved by others, and many of them hear that their Manmin members, Manmin students are different. And also, the popular expressions in the world, they are meaningless. We have so many good words, and we don't have to use such popular expressions. So I don't know any popular expressions. I want to give you an example, but I don't know any. Some students were talking to them, having a conversation, and they were saying a word on Saturday praise and worship. They say like PS, SP, Saturday praise and worship. And this is not a trend of the world. This is okay because it's not the worldly word. It's just an abbreviation. But when they say some words of the world, so I don't really understand them. Sometimes, when I don't understand what they are saying, I ask the people around me, and they explain to me. So, because I don't input any of those words, I don't remember anything. I don't know any popular expressions of the world. That's why I cannot say any expressions of the world. There is another important reason why we shouldn't use useless and meaningless words. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus said, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment." Whatever careless word that you say, even though you don't contain evilness in them, any careless word, you shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. At this hour, at this day, on this date, in this year, you said this, and you'll be questioned. You shouldn't take this lightly. You shouldn't take the word of God lightly, because it'll be done as said. You shouldn't be questioned on the day of judgment. Of course, if you repent of it, saying careless and meaningless words will be forgiven. But the problem is that there are many careless words that you just say and then forget. That is why it is a great problem to speak these careless words, meaningless words, because you don't remember what you said. Some people, they say it and they forget right away. "Oh, I never said that." They said it just now and they forget what they said. Also, they don't remember what they said yesterday. They don't remember what they said an hour ago. That is the problem. You say something that is not right, that is inappropriate, and you don't remember. So this, you cannot even break down this wall of sin. That is why you shouldn't speak any careless word, any meaningless word in the first place. You shouldn't be jesting. You shouldn't be joking. Because you are holy children of God. And because of these things,
Many of you have walls of sin, and there's no way for you to break down these walls. But I'm not saying there's absolutely no way. If the Holy Spirit lets you realize, whether in dreams or something, if you realize it, you can break them down. But otherwise, there is no way to break them down. In 1999, so many people spoke so many meaningless words, careless words. They created a wall, barrier between themselves and myself, me. Those who are in the other countries, most of them receive healing just by sending their photos and prayer requests, by praying from here on the altar. Most of them get healed. And Friday, one person came with so many photos from neighboring country, and she was explaining they received a prayer that is done from the altar, and all of these people were healed. But another person in a neighboring country, he's not healed even though he received the prayer because of the relation with the 99. He never saw me or talked to me, and he cursed me. He judged me and condemned me, and that is why he has a wall of sin, and he is not healed even through prayers. So now he sends a letter of apology and repentance. That is why I came to know why he couldn't be healed. Even in Korea, it's same with you too, your family members. If you spoke meaningless those words, careless words in 99, so many of you got sick, many of them have problems in businesses. And because there are so many kinds of problems in business, family, and sicknesses, as many of them died even because of those words. One family came to meet me in my office, and the husband was saying he cursed during the 99. He was repenting. I didn't know it, but I said those things not knowing about you, but now I repent, and I love you so much. I love the senior pastor now so much. And also he received the blessings after repenting, and also by giving tithes. After hearing the message about tithes, he began to give proper tithes, and he received so much blessing, and also his children are receiving blessings, and to lead a good Christian life. But these meaningless words were always words of sin, and people suffer because of them. So I told him, at that time he registered, at that time, and you were here in this church, so what you see here in the church is true, and why did you believe other people who are just being critical, judgmental? And if you just think about it, you can understand, oh, that was not really true, because as I told you, even in such a great incident, the police never called me or anything, because of course they were. Of course they had the suspicion on me, because all the things. So they did the research. They ran a search on myself and all my family. And there was no evidence of any illegal matter. There was nothing against me. There is nothing. I was absolutely clean. Of course, the press, they were always curious, and they were always trying to find out something from me. But even after 1, 2, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, already it was revealed that all those things were not true. So that is why the major dailies, soon they began to, they, right after the incident, they stopped putting my writings in their newspapers, but soon they began to, they reverted their decision, soon. Just if you, I often tell the men's mission members, I was not even arrested, or I was not called by police. And at that time, the broadcasting was saying that they blocked me from going out to any other country. But from the year 2000, right after that incident, from the next year, I was visiting other countries for overseas crusades. Just by seeing these facts, you can see they were not talking about the telling the truth. And how can you not know the truth attending this church? And those who were saying, so there are so many people who are saying meaningless things, and especially among the church members here, you have been seeing so many works of God, and how could they judge and condemn? I hope you will be more careful not to say such meaningless words. I urge you to develop a habit of thinking before you say anything to determine whether or not what you say is beneficial for both you and the listener. Proverbs 10:19 also says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. If you say many words, you will make many mistakes. Then what are beneficial words for God's children? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it'll give grace to those who hear. As said, beneficial words are words that give grace to and edify others. They are the words that give glory to God, plant faith into others, and give life to others. I hope you will be able to speak these good words all the time. One more thing you should remember is that you should not carry on conversations about worldly things in the church, including the church grounds. I hope you will have only spiritual conversations that give grace and edify each other. Our Lord prohibited even those who were selling and buying things that were to be sacrificed to God. At the temple yard, he was so, there was a person who was giving haircut in the church ground, and he took money for giving that service. And what is the result? God has to turn his face away from him. And they know that it is something obvious that they shouldn't be giving such a service in the church. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to set a guard over our mouths, we should not say anything that goes too far. Going too far here means going beyond limits of position and standing. So some arrogant persons are likely to say things that go too far. Those who are humble will not say anything that goes beyond what is acceptable in any situation. I always have experiences on these. Those workers around me, even by a joke, they don't say anything that goes too far. Even after saying it, if they say they have get into big trouble, long ago, not now, but long ago, when I went on a leave and we were doing exercises, one of the workers, now he's an elder, but he was so good at so good in that particular sport, and he became arrogant. He said, "Oh, it's not a problem." There were many others, including me, but he said, he won all the time. So I said, I shouldn't just leave him. I shouldn't let him be arrogant. So I said, increase the award to the as much as possible, and let's play. So he wanted he increased it as much as he wanted, to a great extent. And if you get the number one, you take everything. And if you're the last, you have to give. So, and when he was practicing it, and his equipment was broken. Actually, it's not something that is supposed to be broken. But his equipment is broken, and he took another equipment, and he couldn't do well, and he had a lot of mistakes. And he became the last. Just with one word. So because they experience such things, not only once, but several times, they are always careful about their words before me. They don't say anything that goes too far. They always say words that humble themselves after experiencing such things a couple of times. If I feel that they are becoming arrogant, and if I say one thing to them, they change. So, in each word we say, we have to understand that God is watching us. Examples of words that go too far are words of passing judgment and condemnation. It's the same with criticism on others. Men who are mere creatures do not have any right to judge or condemn anybody. The right to judge and condemn solely belongs to God the Creator. James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. Do not speak against one another. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the..." So this law is made by God, and you are speaking against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. It is God who made the law and gave it to us, and we have to keep it. But we are not keeper, but we are a judge of the law, which is supposed to be God. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? There's only one lawgiver and judge, the God Himself. And they become God, and they... And this is such a great sin to speak against God, speak against brethren. And if you pass condemnation and judgment on a beloved servant of God, how great this sin will be is. If you criticize and judge and condemn a servant of God who manifests signs and wonders of God, and this is same as criticizing God Himself, because it's God who gave the power, who showed the signs and wonders. So you are the same as you judge and condemn God Himself. You become judge Himself, and you judge a servant of God and God Himself, and you slander. So how great sin this is same as condemning God himself. When they criticized Moses, God said, it's not against you, but it was against me. And when people turned, forsook Samuel, God said, they didn't forsake you, but they forsook me. That is why this sin is great. So when your unbelieving husbands criticize me, actually they don't have any reason to criticize me or condemn me. They haven't met me, they haven't heard anything from me. And what do they know to condemn me so much? They even curse me. So how can their businesses or families have good time? They will only get sick. And if you being church members here, if you pass judgment and condemnation on your shepherd who is leading you to spirit, that is why you get sick, you get a serious disease, you have difficulties, and your problems are not solved even by prayers, because your fundamental cause is not resolved. You have to understand why it is such a great sin, why it is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If you it is a servant of God who is manifesting signs and wonders of God. Where can you see? Where else did you see these many signs and wonders? We only read from the Bible. And if you still slander, criticize, and condemn such a servant, it is same as slandering, condemning God himself. That is why the sin is so great. That is why God said, I will surely count it, and he has been doing it until now. And that is what you have to understand, how great sin this is, so you have to repent so thoroughly. So even one word, you shouldn't say any meaningless word. Some say, why is it that there is no salvation if you leave this church? You don't know, you don't understand the meaning? God is here. God is showing signs and wonders, miraculous works. And if you leave this church, then you must have a reason. It's because you are committing sins, or because you want to commit sins. Here, I only preach cast off sins. Do not sin. And you feel hard. You want to take it easy. So you want to go to another place where just they say, oh, if you believe, you'll be saved. Or you'll just go back to the world completely. That is why you cannot be saved. And you know it. You know the reason why. But you say something like, why does the senior pastor have to say there's no salvation in other places? They say something like that. And they are not even new believers. So how great sin this is. So you shouldn't say anything that is meaningless, careless. And there's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? If God's children who have received salvation complain and express resentment, it is also going too far. We'd have fallen into eternal fire of hell had we not met God. But we are saved by God's grace and we can go into the beautiful heavenly kingdom now. We can be thankful just with this fact. But if we complain about our difficult environment and situations, or hold grudges against anybody, then it means we have forgotten the grace of salvation. But those who understand that they are saved from the fire of hell, namely, those who know the limits of their position, will give thanks even in difficult situations. They will say, I am thankful just to be saved. I give thanks for the love of the Father God who gives me a lesson through this hardship. It's the same when we do something for the kingdom of God. Those who are humble and know their position and responsibilities will accept any work with thanks and obey. They will say, thank you for giving this task to someone like me. I am thankful that I can do something for God's kingdom. On the other hand, there are also those who say, why give me such a trivial task? Why should I have to do this kind of work? Instead of accepting it with thanks, they complain about it. These words in complaints and ungratefulness are words that go too far. How did the Virgin Mary react when she heard from an angel she'd conceive and give birth to a baby? It is impossible with human understanding for a virgin to be pregnant. Medically impossible, scientifically impossible. Never happened before in the human history, ever. Moreover, in those days, if a single woman became pregnant, she would be condemned and stoned. Still, the Virgin Mary accepted it, saying, Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. God sought this kind of woman, and God doesn't choose anybody. In theory or knowledge, there are so many things that cannot be explained by theory or knowledge. There are so many things taking place in this church. For example, the lampstand. The lights come in. Lights are turned on and off. And because of people who doubt, another lampstand. Even now, there are some things that cannot be understood. On the fifth floor, in my residence, actually it's a blessing for me. I just always want the temperature to be below 17 degrees Celsius, whether in summer or winter. But with the air conditioner in Korea, there's nothing that makes it go down below 17 degrees. Even if I turn it on all night, it is only 19.5 or something. Even though outside is 16, 17 degrees Celsius, but I found something strange, extraordinary. When I open the door, warm air should be coming in, but the temperature goes down, actually. So I opened another door, and it goes down to 17 degrees Celsius. So I thought it was strange, and I opened the door of the bathroom, and it goes down to 16.3 degrees Celsius. So I just opened all the doors, and it is always below 17 degrees. So yesterday morning I tested it, and it's the same. So I called I want to invite some of the members to let them see. And theoretically, it cannot be understood, but it's what God is doing. And whatever is happening in this church, in theory or by science, by medicine, cannot be explained or understood. But you see and hear and you experience those things. But it is in accordance with something, and it is in accordance with the Bible. Even the Bible has so many things that cannot be understood by human theory. The sun and moon stopped, and the Red Sea was parted, and the wind and waves were calmed down by the command of Jesus, and there are so many signs and wonders. God is almighty, and He can do anything. And I was worrying about this summer. It gets so hot, and God is showing me a way. So it's so off the theory. It is just the opposite of the theory. It was the same. Mary said, Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. It's something that is impossible to obey. If she had been pregnant, being a single woman, she'd be condemned and be stoned, but she still said, Yes, amen. It was the same with the Canaanite woman whose daughter was set free from demon possession. In order to reveal her faith, Jesus said to her, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Namely, he compared this Gentile woman with a dog, for she was not a Jew. Nevertheless, she did not get disappointed, give up, or get upset, thinking she was insulted and rejected. But in Matthew chapter 15, verse 27, she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She humbled herself completely before Jesus, who could solve her problem, and asked him with unchanging faith. As a result, she received complete resolution of her daughter's problem. Through the above examples, I hope you will understand and find a way for resolving your problems and receive blessings. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to set a guard over our mouth, thirdly, we should use positive words and confession of faith in every kind of situation. Why don't you try not making any kind of negative remarks in your daily life? It's better not to say it seems it won't work out. I don't think it's possible. I suggest you make it a habit to say only positive words in profession of faith, such as, "It'll work out well, we can do it, nothing is impossible for those who believe." Make it a habit. Then how can you really say such a thing when it's impossible, totally impossible, in reality? So this is faith. In reality, it is impossible, absolutely impossible. But you believe that God is with you. If you believe God is with you, it is possible. Just like in the examples of a lampstand and other things, if the angel helps you, you can do it. So in any situation, I never say anything negative. I only give optimistic remarks. I feel positive about anything, because it's not me who is doing it. It's God the Lord. He is listening to my prayer, and He will fulfill, He will accomplish what I try to do, what I desire, what I pray for. I believe it 100%. I absolutely trust Him. So I can always confess positive confessions from the bottom of my heart, and it'll be done as said. So even the impossible becomes possible, and possible becomes better. So what is so difficult about it? As I always explain, in any kind of situation, they will rejoice always, they will give thanks in all circumstances, they will pray continually. If your lips utter negative words, it will also have negative effects on others. It will make the mood gloomier and shadowy. It will take away motivation and cause discouragement. But positive words will make the mood brighter and be more encouraging. It gives them confidence and strength for them to stand up again. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Just by saying a word, you can even fall into hell. Or you can go to heavenly kingdom. You can even fail, or you can succeed, or things can go well or bad. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So the more pessimistic words you speak, the more difficult the things will go. Those who say, "Oh, it's impossible, everything is impossible for them. I'm dying," they will just, every situation is, for them, it's like they are dying. Then, even in such a situation, it's better to say, "I will live," so the situation will change. But with optimistic words of faith, even difficult things may turn out well. There are many biblical examples too. David did not see the reality or say anything negative when he fought Goliath. He only looked up to the Almighty God and went forward with a profession of faith. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 to 47 says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He was just a little boy. And even his king, his people, all his people, his warriors were afraid of him. But this little boy was making this profession of faith. And they were getting close to each other. He could have been beheaded at one shot, one swing of the sword. But he was still making this profession of faith. Does he seem foolish? And this confession of faith is so powerful. God wouldn't just leave him. He trusted God 100%, and he was actually doing it with his faith and trust. He was marching forward, and would God just watch him die? The battle is the Lord's. David struck Goliath with a sling and a stone. The stone hit Goliath in the forehead. God was pleased with David's faith and allowed Israel to win the victory very easily in a battle that was actually very difficult. David was good at the sling stone to keep his flock, to drive away bears and lions. He was very good at this sling stone, but it is not easy to take out somebody. Because the Goliath was wearing full armor, even the helmet. And he was so big. And he was so strong. And everybody was afraid of him. And just with the slingshot, it wasn't easy to kill him. If he couldn't kill him, he himself would be killed. But because God was with him, the stone hit exactly the weak spot. He was wearing the helmet. So it was useless to hit any of the helmet. There's on the forehead, and because there was no covering on the eyes, so the stone hit the exact spot, the weakest point. As above, profession of faith is very powerful, but there were also people who faced miserable consequences from negative words. It was the case with the 10 among the 12 spies who scouted the land of Canaan. God promised the sons of Israel many times that he would give them the land flowing with milk and honey. But 10 of those spies spoke pessimistically after spying out the land of Canaan. Numbers chapter 13, verses 32 and 33 says, and I'll skip this because of time. This negative report of the spies soon influenced most of the people very much. So if you make negative words, pessimistic words, those who don't have faith, they will stumble. They lose faith. It is bad influence. It caused them to have pessimistic thoughts, and soon they began to complain and express their resentment. But there were some people who made positive professions among them. They were Joshua and Caleb. Numbers chapter 14, verses 7 to 9 says, in Joshua and Caleb, I'll skip these Bible verses because of time. The more difficult situation you are facing, I hope you will become more like Joshua and Caleb. You should never be like the 10 spies who drove the people into destruction with their negative reports. Please do not become such a worker, such a servant, such a pastor, such an elder, senior deaconess. I hope you will receive answers and blessings with positive words of faith, such as, when God is pleased with us, we can do anything. When God is with us, everything is possible. If you are about to say something negative, you may even want to gag your mouth to keep from saying it. If you train yourself that way and always make positive professions, your heart and your environment will change. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 2 says, from the fruit of a man's mouth, he enjoys good. According to what kind of words you say, you may receive blessing or curse. You may die or live. You can become rich or poor. You can be sick or healthy or be healed. I talked about three ways to set a guard over our mouth so that we can enjoy abundant blessings. First, we should speak beneficial words rather than meaningless and careless words. Second, we should not say anything that goes too far. Third, we should always speak positive words of faith. Easy. It is to set a guard over our mouth if we just keep these three points in mind and be careful. I hope you will now really set a guard over your mouth and keep your mouth in check very well. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will all receive answers and blessings and give glory to God. I pray for the sick right away. Let us pray. Please lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities, and please receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah, the Lord God Almighty, God of love, lay your hands on all children of God who are receiving the prayer at this time. Lay your hands on all children of God who are receiving the prayer through GCN and Mammon TV and Internet. Lay your hands on them. Wherever they are in the world, show your work on all those who are receiving the prayer with faith. Give them faith to believe from heart. Drive away all doubts and negative thoughts and protect them. Drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ all enemy, devil, and Satan, diseases, infirmities go away, including swine flu and all newly found diseases, all epidemic contagious diseases go away, be cleansed, be healed. All incurable diseases, endemic diseases, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. All cancers in all parts of the body, AIDS, leukemia, heart diseases, lung diseases, stomach problems, high and low blood pressure, skin troubles, and all inflammations and calculus go away. Infantile paralysis, arthritis, be healed. All back pain and all pains in the bones and joints go away. All after effects of accidents, be healed and be cleansed. Cold and flu and malaria and thyroid problems, be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. All fever, go away. Epilepsy, autism, and nervous breakdown and all mental problems go away. Have peace and joy in the heart. Father God, show your work with the Most High power of creation and heal all the infirmities, loosen all the paralysis, let the lame walk and leap, and let the eyes see well, let all the ears hear well, let the blind see, let the deaf hear, let the mute speak, let those who are not able to have babies, let them have babies and heal them of all addictions to substances and drugs. Clean them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let the dead nerve cells revive. Let the dead revive, come back to life again. All demons, evil spirits, go away. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command all enemy, devil, and Satan, rulers of the air, all their angels, go away. The dirty spirits, crafty spirits, alienating spirits, darkness, go away. Loosen the chains of injustice and go away. Light come. Father God, give them spiritual and physical health. Give them strength to cry out in prayer. Let give them the strength and power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let their souls prosper. Let everything go well with them. Let them be healthy, spiritually and physically, and answer to the desires of their hearts and prayers. Give them faith, hope, and love. And evangelize all their families and protect them from all accidents throughout this week, and give them prosperity, protect them with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Protect their families, workplaces, and businesses. Bless them whether they come in or go out. Let them lend but not borrow. Fill them with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Give wisdom and understanding to the students. Let them excel in their studies. Give them the passion and fervor to study hard. Keep their thoughts and minds so that their mind will not be taken by the world. But let them love God. When your children, when they eat or drink or whatever they do, let them do it all for the glory of God. Let them be able to give their testimonies of experiencing God and receiving blessings. Father God, thank you. Receive all the glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.